1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Hebrews 11:25. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11:25. Hebrews 11:26. For Moses was esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Hebrews 11:26. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation 3:10. We'll say it again. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Revelation 3:10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. We realize that in life we are faced oftentimes with many unusual experiences. That is what has exactly happened to us today. It was interesting to go back there and put my hand on the side of Tracy's face, and he patted my hand and brought my hand over so he could kiss my hand. I thought that was a very sweet gesture. We pray for him now, and we will begin our study in 2 Timothy 2:15 after a moment of prayer, please. May we pray together. Father, we are grateful today for the opportunity which is ours now to turn our attention away from the things that have been transpiring here and focus our minds again upon the eternal Word of God. You've given us everything we need to face the experiences of life, no matter what they are. We pray that these will be, for all of us, very precious moments as we give our attention now to the wonderful Word of God. We're thankful indeed for the fact that you've blessed us all richly. We have been blessed so tremendously in so many ways, and we thank you indeed today for the fact that you love us and that you've given us the assurance that you would never leave us nor forsake us, but that you would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite your attention to the back of your bulletin today. If you'll notice there, we have a year of spiritual advance. After 181 messages from the Old Testament on the subject Jesus in every book of the Old Testament, we begin now with a general challenging subject of the danger of not knowing. The danger of not knowing. We do not want to remain without the knowledge of God's Word and the ability to properly apply it so that we can be victorious believers. In coming months, I would plead with you to be more faithful and consistent in receiving God's message than you've ever been in your life. We live in a day where believers must be more in tune with God and His marvelous plan than ever before. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning and never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. Many believers are not always learning, which is so sad, and so many have not come to a full knowledge, epinosis, of the truth. We must know that at salvation, God allocates to each believer an attaché, toolbox, carrying case, of unseen assets for time and for eternity. These assets are known to Him and not to us, but He desires for us to enjoy these blessings if our maturity is such that we can be the recipients without being ruined. The unseen by us assets will remain undelivered if we remain not knowing. Please, please join me in coming days as we all grow in grace and in knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking today at 2 Timothy 3:7 and 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn to those two passages in the wonderful Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, 2 Timothy 2:15. While you're looking there in whatever translation you have, I put on the screen the Greek and the English translation of 2 Timothy 3:7 first, and then 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, "Always learning and never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth." What I desire to do today is to point out some things in this magnificent verse that I believe are extremely important for us on this particular day. Always learning. The Greek word there is manthano, which is M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. You not only see this on the screen, but you have it in your bulletin today as an insert. These verses are so very powerful. This is the reason why we've had the secretary to print them and to insert them in your bulletin for today. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning, never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. The word able here is an interesting one because, as you can see, it is the present passive participle, accusative nominative plural of dunamai. The word dunamai is an interesting one because there's another word, dunamis, which means dynamite or powerful. We have here the use of the word, which is in a continuous action. Passive voice receives, the person receives the action, and the participle shows the circumstances. Never able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. And I spend just a few moments now to let you see that when you look at the last words of this verse, you will see the word that we've used many times over the years, and that is the Greek word epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Most of us are aware of the fact that the word gnosis is the word for knowledge, but the word that is used here is epignosis, epignosin, which is an emphasis upon having a full comprehension knowledge of the wonderful Word of God. That's a brief look at the Greek and English of 2 Timothy 3:7. Now we go to 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, "Be eager to be approved and to present yourselves a workman of God, unashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If you'll be looking at your insert there, you will be able to see that the very two first words, "be eager," is a word, a verb in the imperative mood, which means that it is a command. Be eager. We're commanded to be eager. And so it says here then that we have the responsibility of making decisions on a day-by-day basis. We should have a desire, that's the infinitive here, of the word peritistemi, and that is to be approved and to present ourselves a workman before God unashamed. What is interesting to me is that there is a presentation in this passage of Scripture that we have the responsibility of rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Looking at this word, this verse now, study to present yourself approved unto God, a workman unashamed, rightly dividing, rightly cutting straight through, handling accurately the wonderful Word of God. Please notice that we have here rightly dividing the Word of God. In discussing what the subjects would be for coming weeks, I decided that I would just include the words, rightly dividing the Word of Truth, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And I told Dr. Polson what I thought I would do is just put the titles, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and not put anything else. And he said, yes, the congregation will think you're senile. So I want you to understand that at my age, I could possibly be senile, but I don't think I am. And I want you to know that I want to emphasize over the coming weeks those words, rightly dividing the word of truth. You'll notice what I have on the screen for you now. Study, study, be eager to study. It's a command that we do this to present ourselves approved unto God, a workman unashamed, rightly dividing. Notice how I have it presented here. Cutting straight, handling accurately the word of truth. Over the years, it's been my privilege to teach what a wonderful congregation you are, a magnificent congregation. I'm aware of the fact that over the years, many, many subjects have been presented. And I'm also aware of the fact that some of you have heard these subjects many times, and some of you have not heard these subjects because you may be new in the congregation. So I have a responsibility for giving you information in relationship today to the magnificent subject of salvation. So we're looking at a picture, and I trust that you are able to see what I have on the screen now is called the spiritual house of the soul. I'm going to put this in such a way that you'll be able to see that we have, for instance, the foundation, which is the Greek word soteria, salvation. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who will believe. And then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let me quickly just go through this magnificent spiritual house and then come back down to the foundation and begin an emphasis here. I want to present the meaning of what we have on the screen, the spiritual house of the soul. After salvation, there's an emphasis for every believer to understand the importance of being cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. So the second level of the spiritual house of the soul is the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go through all the Greek words that I have on the screen, but you can look at them. The next word is full knowledge, and that's the Greek word which we just mentioned to you, epinosis. We go to the next level of the spiritual house, and it is the word humility, and it's the Greek word pros, found in Colossians 3:12 and 1 Peter 3:4. You may want to take these verses. These are powerful verses indeed. When you go down to salvation, Romans 1:16, Romans 10:13. When you look at the subject of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you see Ephesians 5:18, which says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what we find in Paul's writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This is simply telling us that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the responsibility of knowing what it is to be properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that we're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. The words be filled with the Holy Spirit are in the imperative mood, which again is a verb in the Greek that says that we are to obey a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If God gives us commands, he also gives us the means by which those commands can be fulfilled. So that means that in Ephesians 5:18, where he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he also makes it possible for us to know how that is entirely possible. You can see that I would be tempted to preach on each one of these, but I need to move on. The next level of the spiritual house is agape, which is a Greek word which emphasizes the relaxed mental attitude. That's what all of us have been called upon to do today, and you handled it so well. And I'm so proud of this congregation for the way that we handled that situation a little bit ago, a relaxed mental attitude. We took our time. We did not rush. We prayed earnestly. We continue to pray for Tracy and his wife and family. But we want you to know that the scripture teaches us
that in the midst of all the circumstances of life, He wants us to have a relaxed mental attitude. The next one you will see is a beautiful Greek word, philos, and that is the word that's translated rapport. How fantastic that is. There are different words for happiness and rapport, but this one, philos, is a beautiful word which means to have the right attitude and to have rapport. John 15:15. You can see at the top of this, there is the Greek word chara, C-H-A-R-A. A beautiful Greek word indeed. It is the word which means joy or happiness. And so we've chosen to put it down as happiness, which means that if a believer will begin to grow and advance and move up through the various levels that we've just presented to you, they will come to a point where they can be the recipient of great joy and happiness in life. I've had so much fun in preparation for the new studies. I just wanted you to see that one of the ways that I presented it is for the overhead. In other words, I'm telling myself what to do here for the overhead. And what God has done. You notice I got a little nervous, and I repeated it, what God has done. And then, and is doing for us, and is doing for us. So I had to take a little time to be humorous with you to let you see that this is an exciting subject for me. The overhead, what God has done and what God is doing. You and I must realize this morning in this brief period of time to take a look at what God is doing and has done for us and what He's made possible for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made it possible for us to have what we're using, the terminology, the spiritual house of the soul. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take some notes because these are very important. Spiritual house of the soul. What do we mean when we deal with the subject spiritual house of the soul? Number one, this is an unseen, invisible, spiritual house in the mind, in the soul, in the cardia. The cardia is the Greek word for emphasis on the mentality of the soul. So I want you to put this down, please, Hebrews 6:19 and Hebrews 10:16. We could take time to look up all these verses, but I want you to see it very quickly this morning, that this is an unseen, invisible house in the soul, in the mind, in the cardia, emphasized in Hebrews 6:19 and Hebrews 10:16. I want you to be able to see that as I look at you, I'm not able to see a visible spiritual house of the soul. This is an unseen, invisible spiritual house in the soul. Number two, this invisible house can only be constructed by the truths of God's Word. The way that this spiritual house is constructed is by the Word of God. And so you and I, on a day-by-day basis, as we study God's Word in harmony and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are increasing our epinosis, our knowledge, which comes from gnosis over to epinosis, and it makes it possible for us to have the constructed spiritual house of the soul constructed by the truths of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I trust you'll take these verses down. Number three, this construction is not in every believer's soul. I hesitate to even say that. It's sad for me to even mention that and think about it. But I'm of the opinion that there are a lot of people who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they stay as what the Apostle Paul calls napios, little tiny nursing babies. This is sad. This is extremely sad. And I'm not sure how I can describe this and discuss this because it is so sad for me to think about it. And that is, if a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, but never grows, never advances, never has a true and love for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is unbelievable in my thinking. And so you'll have to understand what I mean when I mention this, because it is in a nebulous area indeed. This construction is not in every soul. Number four, this construction is built gradually, slowly, like the building of an earthly house. You don't just buy a piece of property, drive by that piece of property, throw out a shingle, and come back by and find that the house is completely constructed. It doesn't happen that way, and neither do we advance and grow up overnight. The construction of the spiritual house of the soul is gradual, slowly, like the building of an earthly house. Number five, when this house, when this edifice is built, then there will be something inside to give spiritual thinking ability. Now, I don't want to go to the next page so rapidly that you're not seeing what I'm saying here. When this edifice, when this house is constructed, there's going to be something inside of us which we're calling spiritual thinking ability. Notice then, resulting in stability and maturity, Hebrews 6:19. I don't want to move away from that page so rapidly that you are not able to see what I'm trying to get over. When the spiritual house of the soul is being constructed, when that spiritual house is constructed, consummated, there will be spiritual thinking ability, resulting in stability and maturity, described by Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Notice number 6. With this construction, when this construction is built, and with this construction, it is still possible to get out of fellowship, out of harmony, and act like an unbeliever. There are many people who are growing and they're advancing some. They're having this spiritual house to be constructed. How far it is, I do not know. But all along the way, it's possible not to be right with God, to get out of fellowship, out of harmony. So number 7, there are different names for this construction in the Word of God. Imitators of Christ is a good illustration, definition, and expression of this construction, imitators of Christ. Another word that is used is the Greek word pleroo, which is an interesting one, in which I have on the screen for you, P-L-E-R-O-O, a beautiful Greek word, which means to fill up, or to fill up a deficiency, or to fill full. These are beautiful words that describe the construction of the spiritual house of the soul. The third expression is Christ at home in your heart. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Ephesians 3:17. And the fourth one is put on a new man. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Number 8, each person must choose to construct his own spiritual edifice in his own soul. Now, I want you to see how powerful this is. Your daddy cannot do this for you. Your mother cannot do this for you. Your children cannot do this for you. This is individual choice. Each person must choose on a day-by-day basis to construct his, her own spiritual edifice in his own, her own soul. And this takes consistency and persistence. What we've done over the last 41 years in this congregation is to emphasize time and time again the importance of being cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, and studying the Word of God, which means that you have the responsibility of individual spiritual growth. Number 9, this means making decisions daily to receive the mind of Jesus Christ by learning doctrinal precepts. Notice, if you will, please, and I have to mention this time and time again, this means making decisions every single day to receive the mind of Jesus Christ by learning doctrinal precepts. And then we go to number 10. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which results in true worship having an altar in the soul. These words are so unique, and I want you to see it, because you don't normally think this way. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions. We understand that, which results in true worship. A lot of people think that true worship is singing. A lot of people think that true worship is praying. But I want you to understand that true worship includes all of those things. But mostly, true worship includes having the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which results in true worship having an altar in the soul. What you and I must realize that you and I must have an altar in our souls. Hebrews 10:16b says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Look at those words. I will put my truth into your heart. I will put my truth into your hearts, and into their minds will I write them. It's God's plan for us to have the Word of God embedded in our thinking, so that when we see things as we have here today, we're able to utilize Scripture that's been embedded in our minds. We've been able to utilize spiritual truths today because we've been called upon to face a situation which we've never faced before. In the 41 years that I've been here, and years before that, I've never had this particular kind of experience. And so in my mind and heart, as I faced this and made my way through it, I was emphasizing in my own heart and mind the purpose of utilizing truth and having a relaxed mental attitude. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which results in true worship, having an altar in the soul. Again, I read Hebrews chapter 10, 16b, I will put my truth, my laws, into your hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And then in Proverbs 24, verse 3a, through wisdom is a house built. Have you ever read that before? Well, you have, because I've given it to you in past years. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is a house built. I'll have to tell you that in preparation for coming messages, I have so many different subjects, and I have such a tremendous amount of excitement in my heart and soul as I think about the future. And I have come across this particular word, and I'm going to get to it one of these days, and that is the word wisdom. In the word wisdom is the Greek word Sophia, a beautiful, magnificent word. In fact, we even named one of our dogs some years ago Sophie. We thought that dog was smart. Wisdom. So I want you to see, through wisdom is a house constructed. What does the word Sophia mean? It means not only having knowledge, it means having the ability to utilize the knowledge and grow in grace and knowledge and then make application of those things which you have learned over the past years. Through wisdom, a house, a spiritual house of the soul, is constructed. And look at the rest of the verse. And by understanding, it is established. Then when I go to Proverbs 24, verse 4, listen to this. What does it say? By knowledge shall the chambers of the spiritual house of the soul be filled. Are you all putting this down? You need to write this somewhere and look at it often, because Proverbs 24:4 says that when you and I are receiving spiritual fuel for our souls, it is spiritual food. And by knowledge, the chambers, the house, all the different rooms of this house shall be filled with what? With precious and pleasant riches. Do you really want to be rich? Rich spiritually, rich in every way. By knowledge shall the chambers of this spiritual house of the soul, this edifice, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. When I thought about this, I thought about the day when you and I would be leaving this life and we'll be going into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about the song, Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. There on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, evermore to rejoice. Now I have to tell you that I wanted to look this up this morning. And sometimes when I get on the computer and try to find things, I am not able to find it very easily. And so I want you to understand that I was trying to have a conversation with our daughter. She calls us every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. I was trying to have a good, decent conversation with her, but I was trying to look up the words of this song because I feel like this is such a tremendous and magnificent song. And what did I find? They wanted to sing it to me, and I didn't want to hear them sing it to me. I wanted the words. I wanted the lyrics. And I finally found it, and then when I printed it, it was so small I couldn't read it. And so I took a part of it out, enlarged it, and printed it. Now, you didn't want to know all of that, but I want you to see. We're going to leave this life one of these days. If we have built a spiritual house of the soul, what we're going to take with us when we leave this life, we'll not take our refrigerator, we'll not take our car, we'll not take our bank account. We'll take what has been implanted in our souls, the magnificent Word of God. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, evermore to rejoice. Time for the break. We have a cake back there that says, Happy Birthday, Marge. She's 80 this week. We're going to give her a hand. We're going to have prayer. We're going to go eat the cake, all right? Let's give her a hand. May we pray together, please. Father, these are precious moments for all of us. We thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for salvation grace. We realize that Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross, paid for our sins. So we have the wonderful scriptures that tell us about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. He did all this for us. And today we realize that if any person would trust Him, that they will be saved. Because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. And the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will, at this very moment, trust You as their Savior. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.